Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs, chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, beginning at verse 10. Proverbs chapter 31, beginning at verse 10, reading through to the end of the chapter. A picture of a godly woman. Proverbs 31, 10 to 31. Someone want to read that for us? I'll read the whole thing, 10 to 31.
Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband shall stay to be trusted in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She rideth about while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth her vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands holdeth its back. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth far forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow from her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth it girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellence them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates.
Verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. A 19th century artist named James Abbott McNeill Whistler painted a picture. We all know it as Whistler's Mother. And it is considered to be one of the most famous oil paintings of a mother, most famous oil painting, not only of a mother, but it is of his mother. And it is to be considered one of the world's masterpieces. Well, our text today can kind of fit into that category. It is a masterpiece. This portrait that is given here may sound in some respects a bit old-fashioned, but although we see that fashions change and lifestyles change, that which makes up the inner character never changes. And is always that was the inner character that is behind these words here, as they are molded into one's life, they find a degree that they can help and change the lives of mothers everywhere and of women everywhere. As we think of portraits and we think of how that these things are, we put it in the perspective of portraits, that as there is with Whistler's painting, it is a Magnificent is considered one of the world's best portraits. And we see here what is listed in Proverbs as the ideal, one of the best characteristics of women. I know I've heard occasions when people say, you know, I just hate when Mother's Day and Father's Day come around. It either comes from a mother or from a father, respectively. And they say, because you always talk about those things that we can never do. And they always make us feel bad because you paint a glorious picture, and I know that I don't do that, and I feel bad. And it ends up being more depressing than it is encouraging. Well, as we study this picture in Proverbs, it will help us honor our mothers and will inspire, catch that, inspire us to imitate this biblical portrait. And to acquire, and to aspire, inspire, and to aspire to these characteristics that are given here in this Proverbs. Well, we find that mothers are to possess the quality of companionship. It is seen here in Proverbs that companionship is one of the ideas that is put out here, and we see that these principles are not just simply for mothers, but they are good principles for all of us to adhere to. Companionship. But as this companionship we see with a husband or with a wife, that she is a companion with her husband. The idea of being a companion is the idea of being a team, of working together. Even though he may go and do one job and you may go and do another, it doesn't mean that you're not a team. You know, teamwork doesn't necessarily mean that two people are out working side by side hoeing the field. Teamwork is one working, doing his part, and the other working, doing their part, and both accomplishing a task for the common good of both. I know whenever, my mother is not here today, whenever we were on the farm, she worked harder than most men. We couldn't hire men to do what she did. You know, she worked very, very hard. And whenever we were too young to go out to the barn and my brothers were leaving home and my dad was working in the coal mines, my mother was the one who was going to the barn. At 5:30 in the morning, she would be up and going out to the barn and working the barn work with whomever was around. And there would be somebody doing the milking and the cows would be milked. And then everybody would leave and she'd have to clean up and wash the milking machines and wash the milk house, and you know, when the state inspectors were always coming and you had to keep everything clean. Well, my mother was always doing that and working there and keeping the house and cooking, and there were just tremendous jobs that she had to do. But yet, you know, with my father, he was either in the field or in the mines, and so they worked as a team. No, working together to accomplish a common goal for each other. So we find that there is the idea of companionship. And this companionship has the idea of camaraderie. There is also that the woman has companionship with her children. There's more to being a mother than just giving birth to a child. A mother is to be a friend. A friend is a person whom one knows well and is still fond of. I like that. That's Webster's dictionary. A friend is someone who you know very well and you're still fond of them. In other words, you know all of their faults and you still like them. And that's kind of what we are. You know, you often hear that expression, only a mother could love that kid, you know. And it's important because, you know, it's one that we look at, and in a mother's eyes, it has that different perspective and sees the qualities that it are, knowing all the qualities and still love them. A mother shall possess the quality of nurture. Nurture means to promote the development of character. That it is the idea of working with one and nurturing one to make them strong in character. Attending to the needs of both husband and children. The problem that arises there is whenever we get the idea of attending needs, it becomes slave work, you know. And we're not talking of slaves, we're talking of meeting the needs of husband and children to develop their individuality and to develop their character. And that means giving them discipline and also giving them chores and giving them whatever it takes to help in developing their character. But it doesn't mean that a woman becomes a slave. Motherhood can try and be reduced to the biological act or the physical relationship, that there are many women who give birth to a child or to children, but they never really become their mother. See, there's a difference. See, some regard children as a personal accomplishment, a biological accident, an object, toys to be played with, dolls to be dressed, tools for manipulation, and means for favor, gain and favor. So we find then that the quality of nurturing is more than just giving birth, but it is a quality that is accepting the responsibility for the child, the commitment to the gift of life that God has placed within one's care. And it's one of the reasons that, you know, I think that is, young people getting married, that there is a need for parenting and planning when they want to have children, so that they will not have children too young in the age that they don't learn to nurture them and they don't see the responsibilities of nurturing them. We find that there is the assuming the responsibility to help the development of this life, and that is part of being a mother. It means getting involved with the child, knowing their hurts and their laughing and their crying, and doing all of this with them, experiencing the good with them and the bad with them. There's a story that Johnny, he was age 4, and he appeared at the door of his father's study, and he carried with him this little lost chick that had somehow gotten away from the neighborhood brood. And the father sternly said to Johnny, he says, "Take that chick back to its mother." And Johnny said, "It has no mother." Well, the father said, "Well, then take it back to its father." Johnny said, "It doesn't have a father. It is nothing but an old lamp." Now, do you know what that means? Has nothing but an old lamp. How many knows what that means? Did you ever see how they hatch chicks? They put a lamp. They have the eggs, and they put a lamp there, a light bulb, and they have the light bulb there that keeps the eggs warm. And when they hatch, all they have is a light bulb. An electric lamp may serve the needs of the chick of hatching it and keeping it warm, but it will preserve the chick until it's old enough to face life and go through the life on its own. But a child will not live without love. Oh, a child may survive, but it needs someone to love and to be loved. It's just as important to receive love as to give it. And it's important that we learn this in life, that life is more than just providing a lamp. That life is more than just giving a lamp to the children. And God has done more than just give us a light. He's given us Himself. And we find that this is a quality and a character of life that every one of us can share with one another. That we're not just a light bulb to provide warmth, but yet there is the ability of love to flow through our hearts that we may give it and that we may receive it. And it's important that we be willing to do both. To be able to give love and also to receive it. That's important. Mothers should possess the quality of godliness. Proverbs 31, verses 15 to 17. I'll read them for you. It says, "She rises while it is yet night and gets spiritual food for her household and assigns her maids their task. She considers in verse 17, she girds herself with the strength, spiritual, mental, and physical fitness for her God-given task and makes her arms strong and firm." I'll read that again. Verse 17, She girds herself with strength, meaning spiritual, mental, and physical fitness for her God-given task, and makes her arms strong and firm. We see that godliness should be a quality of a good mother. Godliness is a quality of a good mother. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. The greatest quality in life is knowledge of God and fear of God, a love for God, and a recognition of His love for us. We have many mothers who tip the scale the other direction. In 2 Timothy, we have in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, it reads this way. For among them are those who worm their way into homes and captivate silly and weak-natured and spiritually dwarfed women, loaded down with the burden of their sin and easily swayed and led away by various evil desires and seductive impulses. These weak women will listen to anybody who will teach them. They are forever inquiring and getting information, but are never able to arrive at a recognition and knowledge of the truth. So that's Paul's letter to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 19. Excuse me. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 9 through to verse 13. Let no one be put on the roll of widows who are to receive church support, that's what it means, who is under 60 years of age, or who has been the wife of more than one man. And she must have a reputation for good deeds, as one who has brought up children, who has practiced hospitality to strangers of the brotherhood, washed the feet of the saints, helped to relieve the distresses, and devoted herself diligently to doing good in every way. But refuse to enroll on this list the younger widows. For when they become restive and their natural desires grow strong, they withdraw themselves against Christ and wish to marry again. And so they incur condemnation for having set aside and slighted their previous pledge. Moreover, as they go about from house to house, they learn to be idlers. And not only idlers, but gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not say and talking of things they should not mention. So I'm not just reading about Proverbs here. I'm talking about Timothy and Titus here. That also there is the other side. And also Titus chapter 2, verses 2 to 5. Titus chapter 2, verses 2 to 5. Urge the older men to be temperate. Serious, sensible, self-controlled, sound in the faith, in the love, and in the steadfastness and patience of Christ. Bid the older women, similarly, to be reverent and devout in their deportment, as becomes those engaged in sacred services. Not slanderers or slaves to drink, they are to give good counsel and be teachers of what is right and noble, so that they will wisely train the younger women to be sane and sober-minded, temperate, disciplined, and to love their husbands and their children, to be self-controlled, chaste, homemakers, good-natured, kind-hearted, adapting and subordinating themselves to their husbands, that the word of God may not be exposed to reproach, blaspheme, or discredit. So, we find in these verses then an admonition that the women who travel from house to house gossiping and slander are women of a poor quality of character. But we also find that there is the admonition to follow the good things and do the good things, to be known for what you do. You know, it's simple that, you know, I think that one of the commonest characteristics is that people pick up on the bad characteristics of what women do. And some of the, you know, the bad characteristics of gossiping and slandering, and they sit around and watch soap operas all day and talk on the telephone and dump their garbage and spread you know, that's out there. We in 2 Chronicles chapter 22, the words that are written to Isaiah, I can't pronounce his name, Ahazi, king of Judah. He also walked in the way of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. So we have this type of, that's out there. And we have that type of mother or woman that is out there. But a good mother comes as a result of a relationship with the Lord. That is the quality that makes for a good mother, having a relationship with God. We have said it over and over again that the power of sin cannot be broken except by the power of God, a greater power. And so we find it not only in the power of sin being broken, but we find it in the power of a woman and the power of a life, that God's strength be there to break the power of sin and not only cancel it, but make a godly woman and a good woman. Proverbs 31:30. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. The word Lord is a word used to describe a covenant, an agreement, a relationship, to live in agreement with the one who is addressed as Lord. So the woman that feareth the Lord, a woman who fears God and decided that she has made an agreement with God, that she is going to be one with God, that relationship will build her and establish her, that she shall be praised. That she shall be praised because of her relationship with God. And that relationship with God will establish her in wisdom and in counsel to be a godly wife and a godly mother, godly companion to her husband, and a godly friend to her children. The only way to become good is by this type of a relationship with Christ. A godly mothers have a godly influence upon their children. I have a good influence upon their children. Augustine, the great 4th century preacher and theologian, was influenced by his mother. He admitted that his mother's principles and actions affected him. That she prayed continually for Augustine's salvation. There's a story, if you want to read one, read the story of Augustine and his life and his conversion, and how that he went away from home and he was going off on his own, and his mother went to prayer and she literally summoned him back to God by her prayers. She literally summoned him back to God by her prayers. And we find that this is the part of being a godly mother and a godly person, a person who prays. So a biblical portrait of a mother, she's not just a nice woman. Instead, she is a companion for her husband and for her children. A biblical mother is more than just one who gives birth to a child. A biblical mother is one who nurtures and promotes the development of character by her own deeds in the life of her children. A mother can fulfill her role only through the power of God in her life. As with all of these characteristics, there are people who are just excellent in their character. You know, but even they need the power of Christ to make them a godly mother and a godly person. So it's more than just being good. It's allowing God to work in you to help you become what God intended you to be. And what is the model? Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31. Let me read them again. Brother Rummel, would you go down and tell the children it's time to come up? in just a minute. Have them wait there till we finish. Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31. A capable and intelligent and virtuous woman. Who is he who can find her? It's like gold, yeah. It's hard to find. A virtuous woman is hard to find. She is far more precious than jewels, and her value is far above rubies and pearls. The heart of her husband trusts in her confidently and relies on and believes in her safely, so that he has no lack of honest gain or need of dishonest spoil. He doesn't have to get his riches by hook or crook to please her. She will comfort, encourage, and do him only good as long as there is life within her. She seeks out the wool and flax and works with willing hands to develop it. She is like the merchant ship loaded with foodstuffs. She brings her household's food from a far country. She rises while yet it is night and gets spiritual food for her household and assigns her maids their task. She considers a new field before she buys or accepts it, expanding prudently and not courting neglect of her present duties by assuming other duties. With her savings of time and strength, she plants fruitful vines in her vineyard. She girds herself with strength, spiritual, mental, and physical fitness for her God-given task, and makes her arms strong and firm. She tastes and sees that her gain from work with and for God is good. Her lamp goes not out, but it burns on continually through the night of trouble, privation or sorrow, warning away fear and doubt and distrust. She lays her hands out to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She opens her hands to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her filled hands to the needy, whether in body, mind, or spirit. She fears not the snow for her family, for all her household are doubly clothed. She makes for herself coverlets, cushions, and rugs of tapestry. Her clothing is of linen, pure white and fine, and of purple, such as that of which is the clothing of priests and hallowed clothes of the temple are made. Her husband is known in the city gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen garments and leads others to buy them. She delivers to the merchant girdles or sashes that free one for service. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and her position is strong and secure. She rejoices over the future, the latter day of time to come, knowing that she and her family are in readiness for it. She opens her mouth with skillful and godly wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness, giving counsel and instruction. She looks well to how things go in her household, and the bread of idleness, gossip, and discontent and self-pity she will not eat. Her children rise up and call her blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied. And her husband boasts of her and praises her, saying, "My daughters have done virtuously, noble and well, with a strength of character that is steadfast in goodness, but you excel them all. Charm and grace are deceptive, and beauty is vain, because it is not lasting. But a woman who reverently and worshipfully fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates of the city." It is a perfect portrait of what a mother is to be. Not to bring discouragement to say, "I haven't done it," but to give us a goal to shoot for and to strive for and to become. It is set before us, and we can see our strong points. You know, Jesus, even in his teaching, whenever he was teaching, he put before us that which is perfect. And he said, the writers said that we don't compare ourselves with something less than the best. For we'll never attain the best if we always compare ourselves to what is less. The writer to the Proverbs has set before us that which is best, and we strive to become like it. Amen. a godly woman. Charm and grace are deceptive, and beauty is vain. But a woman who reverently and worshipfully fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And that's where it begins. Father, I thank you for these virtues and for these qualities that are in each one, maybe not developed to their fullest, but yet they are there. And Lord, we pray that your Spirit shall awaken and quicken and give power to these virtues, that they may become greater qualities of each of our lives, and that most of all, Lord, that we may become like you. We thank you for this, and we ask your blessing now upon these mothers in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you.